genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Karen Shaner is a clinical and a neuropsychologist, a former White House consultant, and advisory member of the Discovery Channel's Global Edition. She studied up at Stanford University, where she researched how rats learned and how cats dreamed. She worked at NASA's Life Sciences Department, and it included research on memory and information theory. She was a Peace Corps science teacher in Somalia, hopefully before they were Somalian pirates, and she was a consultant for a wildlife conservancy. She's talked and lectured at many different places. Welcome to the show, Dr. Karen Shaner. How are you today?
Thank you, and it's nice to be back home. Please mention, I also went to high school in South Pasadena.
There you go. She is from the local area.
I miss the beaches so much, you all.
She's got a definite connection here with Ventura County. Dr. Shaner, I found your book was fascinating, and one of the underlying theses of the book is that we as humans, we suffer from arrogance and hubris. You know, we believe we're top of the food chain, and that somehow we're better than other series. We neglect the connection that we have with the animal kingdom. How did we develop this superiority complex?
Well, we developed it among ourselves. Who knows what the animals have, other animals are saying about us. I always say to people, even when they visit a zoo, what are the animals saying about you?
Yeah, exactly.
And they recognize us. Birds can recognize a human face, and we can't recognize I can't tell one chickadee from the other, for example, very easily.
Sure.
So I think basically we certainly it doesn't mean that we each have our needs. We each have our sensibilities and our sensitivities and even our senses. We talk in the first part of the book about how we sense what is around us through vibrations and electromagnetic information, as well as humidity or air pressure.
Mm-hmm.
All of us do, and different animals at different levels. Some dogs, of course, can smell things and detect odors and even probably electrical vibrations, because they can detect epilepsy coming into a brain much better than we can. We have our own ways, but even our brain, we started to say, well, our neocortex, that's where we really our center of judgment and analysis. Well, it doesn't mean we should lower our aspect of the way we look at humans. It does mean we should be more aware of the amazing things that are happening around us, what animals, the empathy that animals show, and altruism, how they revere their dead, how they look out for each other and warn each other, even across species. And as humans, we don't pick up on this because we don't believe it's happening up until recently. And now science, which had taken us away from a lot of this, because people who grow up on farms and certainly in areas where they're interacting with the wildlife all the time know a lot of this. But now our science is saying can zero in on high frequencies and actually show that bats compose their own songs and sing those songs, and mice giggle when they're tickled. And even there's a mouse in Carmel Valley, California, that has been found to sing and sing melodic, beautiful songs.
We're talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Her book is titled Bats Sing, Mice Giggle, The Surprising Science of Animals' Inner Lives. Here are just some of the remarkable findings that I got out of the book, and I'm just going to shotgun them at you, Dr. Shaner. Chimpanzees have outscored college students in memory tests.
More than one time.
And I suppose that shouldn't surprise me on some levels, but I found that was amazing. Animals can sense and can communicate to others about upcoming earthquakes and hurricanes.
Yes, and this is the first book that I'm aware of where I have connected the dots between what Caltech scientists, for example, have talked about, which happens in earthquakes and the different waves the deep surface waves and the upper surface waves that we have in earthquakes and all of the information that's given off electrically, electromagnetically, the tilting of the earth, humidity. Well, what I did was then take the latest research as of April on animals and what they do sense, let's say animals, and connected it with the earthquakes. And we actually start the book talking about the tsunami in 2004. And the head of Sri Lanka's wildlife preserve said, 22,000 people died and no dead animals. No, the elephants and leopards, the hares, that in fact what they saw, they said animals can sense disaster. And of course everybody in earthquake area, and that's California, of course, will tell you the dogs bark and go really wild before an earthquake. The cats try to jump out of the house. If you look down the ground, you would probably see the those that live under the ground, let's say like gophers or whatever, trying to come up. Even worms hurry up and get out because they can feel vibrations weeks earlier than before the great earthquake.
Well, now that begs the question, Dr. Shaner, why isn't Caltech keeping a flock of animals there in order to predict some of these earthquakes? Why don't they have an ant farm on every desk, and when the ants start to move up, they know that an earthquake is coming?
I think it's a good question. Some of it is the interdisciplinary nature of this. For example, Joseph Hirschfink several years ago actually developed this report and presented it, but at the same time, those seismologists weren't aware of what a lot of the biologists, zoologists, and biophysicists were detecting in the animal sensory capacities. It's connecting those dots. And like I say, this is the first book that I know of that really connects those dots and says, of course this makes sense, and of course this happens. And people argue, yes, but it didn't happen in this earthquake, and it did in this one. And my answer is, there are many different types of earthquakes.
There you go. We're talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Her book, Bats Sing and Mice Giggle. Here's some more what I found fascinating findings from the book. Of course, we just mentioned that bats and whales compose their own complex songs. Mice and rats will giggle when they are tickled. Here's one that I found interesting. Elephants can hear with their toes.
With their toes and with their nose. You'd think with those big ears that they wouldn't need anything else. But in fact, much of the information and the communication that animals pick up on are basically the rumblings, the substrate vibrations underground. And for example, an elephant can detect a herd of elephants 200 miles away.
Wow.
A male elephant can hear the rumbling of a female elephant in heat 6 miles away.
Now, I guess biologically that's very, very important if you're an elephant, particularly a bull elephant.
And of course, if there's an earthquake or if there are other things going on or a truck rumbling along the road a mile away, the elephant will know that.
There you go. Here's one that I found interesting, because this sort of anthropomorphizes something that we think of as only a human characteristic, but ants build cemeteries for their dead.
Edward Wilson at Harvard has been studying ants and wasps and bees for so many years and has a wonderful book that came out about a very comprehensive book called Superorganism.
Mm-hmm.
And basically shows that all of these animals, ants for example, they have cemeteries for their dead. They have hospitals for sick ants. And one group in Germany suggests that perhaps ants actually count their steps back home. So when they go to a food source that they actually know. Now this is, we're not sure about this, and the book goes into the strange kind of research that's trying to find out, but that ants count the many steps that it takes to get back home. And certainly
wow.
They give a lot of information to each other, either at a quantum level or at, certainly in terms of pheromones, in terms of they tag their enemies, for example, with certain pheromones, with certain chemical odors.
Interesting. We're talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Dr. Shaner, I find so many of these tidbits so interesting. One that I found absolutely remarkable is that animal DNA can be changed in one generation based on certain experiences. That's remarkably fast evolutionary.
We have to remember that as humans. By the way, before I go on to the DNA, I did forget to say that they have found that, and Wilson mentions that ants also play. They have little sword fights with each other. I didn't want to forget that.
No, those playful ants, we want to make sure we get that in. That's incredible.
We thought for a long time that we were born with our DNA was a map to tell our body exactly what it's supposed to do. And to a certain extent, it does. It tells us what color eyes we're born with. But it is very, very malleable. We, again, have learned over the last several years, and this applies to humans as well. I just was at Stanford, and I was talking I was on a panel there, and I mentioned how we find out that everything we think of, every action, every experience we have, it not only changes our brain and our body physiology, even the architecture of the brain, it actually changes the genes that are expressed, because some genes, if they're not called upon to do anything, they're dormant. Mm-hmm. They have to be called, and it changes the chemistry of our DNA within one generation.
That's incredibly fast from an evolutionary standpoint. We're talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Bats sing, mice giggle. If that title alone doesn't intrigue you, she's talking about the surprising science of animals' inner lives. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I mean this in all seriousness, because this is actually a listener question that came in to me over the weekend. But you may or may not have seen the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats. But the basic premise is this, that there are some men using mental telepathy that can make goats faint just by the power of their mind. How real is that? And in fact, do goats faint?
I cannot answer that question because I really haven't read the book.
Okay.
I'm not aware of it. So I'm not even going to try to do that.
All right. Well, that's fair enough.
I'm going to say that there are vibrations around us. There are electromagnetic changes constantly at many scales, including at quantum scales. So it's just not the physical Newtonian billiard ball, this moves and I see it and I can control it or measure it in a very precise way with my measuring stick. It's much more complex than that, and really, quite frankly, much more beautiful.
Yeah, oh, I would agree with that, but I yearn for the days of simplicity. Dr. Shaner, how do some animals, let me change up here, how do some animals show grief? Because I used to think that grief was a purely human emotion.
Well, for example, there's a wonderful documentary and a very touching documentary several years ago of elephants that not only are there in Africa caring for a very sick elephant, but when an elephant dies, they actually have ceremonies where they walk for hours very slowly around the dead animal. Certainly, we have a number of examples where apes, chimpanzees or gorillas have their child has died and they carry the child around and showing obvious grief for a long time. Of course, and if anybody who has had a dog or a cat, certainly our dogs, we know, and many times I've heard many from a lot of physicians, in fact, I have heard many stories that, in fact, the dog senses when a person has died before even humans or even the medical profession knows it. Very in tune with life and death, and certainly have feelings, very strong emotions and feelings. By the way, I'd like to mention our website, which is batsingmicegiggle.com, batsingmicegiggle1word.com. And we have some of the latest research from, example, my colleague, Jag Canwell, who is also at Georgetown University, on the emotions of bats. And look at that, of the bats showing emotion. Listen to the emotion they show and the sounds that go on. They rock their babies. They get angry at each other. They vie for, they compete. One bat, not in this video especially, but has, for example, whacked another bat off its perch. And remember, bats hang upside down.
Right. That could be very painful.
There's a lot of emotion there. And we know that. We've had any animals.
True. Now, Dr. Shaner, I want to come back to the concept about dogs, because dogs are just fascinating. Of course, we domesticated them long ago. But in your book, you have some research that shows that dogs can actually sense certain types of cancer just by smelling a human's breath.
What we have already, the research we are very strong on, and of course, this would say this could go a lot of other places as well, but lung cancer and breast cancer. Because when we have cancer in our bodies, and And we all do many times, by the way, and then we hope our body heals itself, if you will, in the small situations where perhaps we get off balance. And, of course, there are very grave and difficult situations that the medical community helps us with. But there are molecules, special molecules that are there, of very different molecules that are there when the cancer is, that the cancer gives off. And dogs can detect this. They can smell it.
Oh, that's just incredible. Well, we're talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Her book, Bats Sing, Mice Giggle, it's a fantastic read. But I guess the book begs the bigger question, Dr. Shaner, and that is this. Why aren't humans seeking to learn and even mimic certain of these animal characteristics? In other words, why don't cryptologists learn from whales?
Well, some of them we actually are. We're learning a great deal medically. For example, right here where I live in Rock Creek Park here in Washington, D.C., it's like I'm in the woods, but I'm really in the northwest part of Washington, D.C. Very soon, when it gets very cold, the little frogs, they're called peeper frogs, will actually freeze into ice cubes, little frog sickles. And then in the spring, when it's time to thaw out, they will thaw out, starting with their heart. Their heart thaws out, and then their little brain, and then their legs, and they go hopping away looking for another wonderful frog. However, we are learning how do they reboot their heart, because each time to do this, they have to reboot their heart. And we're learning about this. We're learning from animals like salamanders who have been found. This is years ago, done. We don't do it today, but I know of this particular research but basically where they took a salamander's brain and ground it up, put it back into the skull of the salamander, and within 2 weeks the salamander was starting to function again, that the neurons and the connections had started growing back together. Half of a salamander's body can take off, and it will regenerate. As far as we know, this is only true of our livers in humans. So regeneration, heart waves, brain waves, we are learning so much, and even from the cockroaches, who, by the way, can live for 2 weeks without a head.
The consummate survivors, cockroaches.
We are learning the cockroaches' legs. They have six legs with three knees on each leg. And the way they maneuver, the quickness of their maneuvering, and how they can change their legs around, we're using this in some of our transport instruments, just as we're looking at millipedes and centipedes. Have you ever wondered how millipedes, those with 700 legs, could walk?
No.
Without getting tangled up? I get tangled up in two of my legs.
Exactly. We've been talking to Dr. Karen Shaner, everybody. Her books, Bats Sing, Mice Giggle, The Surprising Science of Animals' Inner Lives. You can hear from the sound of her voice that she is very passionate about the research she's there. Dr. Shaner, if people are interested in learning more about you or learning more about your book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, first of all, please go to the website, batsingmicegiggle.com, because we keep adding parts to this website, as well as wonderful videos of a Snowball the Cockatoo dancing to Lady Gaga and other, just to show the birds do indeed have rhythm, a lot of videos of dolphins playing with their little silver ring toys that they develop. That's the best way, and then also people can contact me through Dr. Karen Shaner, one word, at gmail.com.
Dr. Karen Shaner at gmail.com. Dr. Shaner, it is a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much.
That's great.